Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody!
Hello everyone!
My name is David Bell.
My name is Tom Ryman.
Yeah, it's true. We just watched 1,917.
1917.
Yeah, it's a good number.
Yep, solid number.
Yeah, yeah, they did a good job.
It's not too small, but it's not too big.
Yeah.
You have a brother in the 2nd Battalion.
Yes, sir.
They're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you fail, it will be a massacre.
Let's talk about this for a minute.
Why?
We've got orders to cross here.
That is the German front line.
Hold back!
If we're not clever about this, no one will get to your brother.
I will.
Tom.
Yeah.
How did you like this movie?
I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. I really enjoyed it.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It's, I feel like this is going to win all the awards, right?
Probably.
Probably. This is, okay, for, I guess, there were two movies this weekend. There was this, Underwater.
Underwater, yeah.
This is the one that is a war movie. Directed by Sam Mendes, who did American Beauty. He did Road to Perdition, right?
American Beauty, Road to Perdition, a couple of those James Bonds.
Yeah, and he sort of lost me at the James Bonds. Because, not because they were bad, but because fucking Road to Perdition, what a movie.
Yeah, it's so good, yeah.
And it was like, I remember watching Road to Perdition and being like, I can't wait for this guy's career. And then he just sort of did some James Bonds. And I got really bored because anybody can do a James Bond, you know? It's
yeah, there's nothing really that... There's not really much opportunity to, like, be artistic with a James Bond film, I guess.
Yeah. And this is a war movie. This is World War One, and it is about a... It's about Ben Shapiro, and he needs to send... That's all I could think about.
Don't put that evil on that man.
He needs to get a message.
He doesn't really look that much like Ben Shapiro.
No, not that much. And I mean, Ben Shapiro's not a bad looking guy. He just made himself, you know, evil. Like, he just looks, he looks bad to me through the things that comes out of his mouth, you know?
Right, yeah.
Anyway, he has to get a message from one side of the war to the other side of the war, basically.
Sort of. It's not even that far. They have to go about 9 miles.
Right.
So yeah, it's they're just delivering a message
to Sherlock.
To the new front lines. Yeah, to Sherlock.
Yeah.
To Bamberdink Slapdybatch.
Yeah. To tell him that don't do the war.
Yeah. Stop the war.
Stop doing war. Because the Germans.
The war.
Yeah, the Germans have laid a trap and they don't know. And the personal stakes is his brother is part of those troops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's the movie, because also it's done to look like one unending shot.
Yeah. Of course, there's wizardry in there to mask takes and things like that.
Yeah.
And there is, at one point in the film, it does cut when he gets knocked out.
Right, right. It basically, like, the camera keeps going as long as the character keeps going. Mm-hmm. Spoilers. Kind of the twist is it's not the character we realize.
Right. Although, I wonder how clear that is if I go back and watch it a second time. Will it be more... Because it starts on him. It starts on the secondary character.
Yeah, it does.
Or at least who appears to be the second. There's two guys. There's Blake, who's been given the mission. And his brother is the front is on the front lines of the attack with Bamberdink, Scoop-de-Booch.
Mm-hmm.
And then Schofield is like... just his friend who he picked to go along with him, but the camera starts on Schofield. Like, the movie opens on him, and then Blake is in the background asleep.
So I just realized something, and this is off topic slightly, but Bamberdijk, mm-hmm. There are three prominent, like, we'll stop and talk to these, like, generals, and each time it's a famous British actor, and each yes. time it's an actor who has been in some version of Sherlock Holmes recently.
Let's see, the first one's Colin Firth.
Oh, okay, not Colin Firth. Shit, I forgot about Colin Firth. There's Moriarty from the show Sherlock, and then, of course, Sherlock from the show Sherlock, and then Mark Strong.
And then Mark Strong, yeah. Yeah. Which one's Moriarty? I don't want Sherlock.
Oh, he's it's interesting. I forget the actor's name. People are probably screaming it at me because he's been in a lot. He's the one who, right before they go into No Man's Land.
Oh, that lieutenant
who's like, asking what day it is.
Yeah.
He's
like, if I hate losing these, so if you get shot, try to throw the flare gun back.
Yeah. He's terrific. Like, Moriarty
he was amazing, yeah.
In the Sherlock show, Moriarty is done completely different than, like, the books, but he sort of wins you over by being just very entertainingly unhinged in the show. And he was, I liked his performance the most in this because he's setting up the most terrifying part of the movie, or one of the most terrifying parts.
Yeah, this movie, did you think this movie was scary?
It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
And it should be. I mean, this movie, it's basically...
I was surprised by that.
Yeah, it's a very simple... Well, it's a very simple story, and also not, because it's basically these guys have to get from A to B.
Yeah.
And it's just taking everything that we know about war and showing it to us by just taking a small chunk of it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, an insanely exciting chunk. But they basically just I love the symmetry, of course, that they're pretty much it's like Lord of the Rings. Like, it's yeah. they start in a beautiful field and then they end in a beautiful field, and in between they mm-hmm. just basically have to go to hell and back.
Yeah, it begins and ends with essentially the same shot.
Yeah,
where he's sitting down leaning against a tree.
Yeah, and it's kind of just one guy's journey through this sort of no man's land, through this hell, and every now and then there's the movie stops to remind us that things are still kind of beautiful. They go to a farmhouse and there's cherry trees, and then
they've all been cut down by the Germans.
Yeah, and then later there's a woman and a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then later there's more cherry trees, and then later there's like everybody's quietly just watching someone sing, and there's these like little connections throughout because nobody's happy.
No, why? Yeah. It's yeah. This is
and no one's happy with each other.
It's a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, everybody's kind of like very curt with each other, but then there's these moments of connection that are shared throughout. It's I thought it was very good. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a fucking horror film.
Yeah, that was the most surprising thing to me about it, was that it's scary.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not just because war is horrific. Like, there's that element of it, like the part where they first go up into no man's land,
mm-hmm.
and it's they did such a good job at making it look just so inhabitable. Like, the ground is black and muddy and mm-hmm. gory. It's
yeah,
disgusting.
There's just bodies like everywhere.
Yeah, and there's rats, and it's like there's nothing, like, it's not even like cool horror movie bodies. It's just gnarly and like
mm-hmm.
old wet bodies with like parts blown in off of them, and it's just like you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Which kind of mirrors the end when he's in the trenches at the end. They're like newish trenches that
yeah.
aren't that yet. But when they're going through the old trenches, it's like, yeah, it's a horror movie in the sense that there's bodies. But then when they go into like the mines and stuff, it's like shot like a horror movie.
Yeah, and everything in the French town in the
oh,
little village
God.
and it's like it's lit by flares and artillery shots, so like everything is in these long shadows, and every single German is faceless.
Yes. Yeah, the part where he's at like the church and the German's approaching and neither of them are sure.
Yeah, you can't tell.
Yeah, they can't tell if the other's an enemy or not at first.
And then the German just starts sprinting towards them. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that shit. And then when they're in the mines where there's like, it's like genuine like jump scare-ish moments, but not cheap ones, like with the trip mine where they... It's,
yeah,
it's
the
like
fucking
a horror
rat
reveal.
Sets it
yeah.
off.
It's stupid rat. It's like a horror reveal where one of them walks over and he goes like, oh shit, it's a trip mine, and the horror and the camera like pans down to it and you can like sort of see it and they're both frozen and then the rat falls down.
Yep.
That they've set up the rats before, so it's not yeah. like random. And then they're like, oh shit, and then it just explodes.
Yeah.
Stupid fucking rat.
That was so grim too, because yeah. like he digs, Blake has to dig Schofield out of the rubble, and it's like he can't see because there's so much dust in his eye, and he can't breathe because he's like swallowed like dust and rock.
Right.
It was so gnarly.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where you, I thought he was the one who was going to die. Also, because watching the trailers, and I've seen online because people have been. You know, because, yeah, they fake a lot of the one-ers, but there's still a lot of, like, long one-ers that they shot for this. So
yes.
people are showing a lot of behind the scenes online. And I thought it was one of the actors in the shots when it was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So I just assumed he had died because I thought that character was going to die.
Right, yeah, well, the first thing that happens is he... Like the second they get into no man's land, the first batch of barbed wire they're crawling through, he cuts his hand.
Right.
And then he accidentally puts it into a dead body. So you're like, oh shit, his arm is gonna rot off.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. So you think like you get like the immediate like when somebody gets bitten by a zombie, like you're
yeah.
like, oh shit, it. Clock is ticking on this dude.
Yeah, like a horror movie, you don't mm-hmm. They throw a lot at you and you're not
yeah.
sure what's gonna happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and
yeah, the twist was so unexpected, partially because it happened so early.
Yeah, and so fast, and
yeah.
like I got a sense that something bad was going to happen, because all war films have that thing where it's like, oh, we're just hanging out and it's peaceful, and then out of nowhere shit just goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that enough, but the way they did it was so fun and
yeah.
so like unexpected and so yeah, weird, and you just don't, I didn't believe that he was going to die even when it was like very clear. It was like, oh,
right.
of course.
Like, what? Until he was like, yeah, until like right as he was dying, I was like, well, he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to kill off who had at this point been the main character this early.
Yeah.
They sure do.
Yeah, they go to a farmhouse,
dead.
And one of them says something like, I don't like this place. And I was like,
yeah,
uh-oh.
Schofield does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go there and they find a single cow and they find some milk. Which pays mm-hmm. off later. That was really cool.
Yeah. He puts the milk in his canteen.
Yeah. And they're just sort of like talking, and they talk too much for sure. These two guys like
mm-hmm.
that. I feel like that's the only unrealistic thing is like they're crossing like no man's land. And they're like talking, and I'm like, guys, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. Jesus. But I don't, you know, but then it wouldn't be entertaining.
Right.
They're like telling stories and stuff, and they're watching a dog fight in the air.
Mm hmm.
Of it's two against one, and then they shoot their guys. They shoot down the German plane, and it goes past the horizon, like disappears behind a hill, and you're waiting to see the smoke, and then it goes zoom, up over the fucking mountain and
yeah.
crashes into
fucking
the barn
right at them.
Yeah, and yeah, they drag the German guy out, and they do. It's the way they shoot it, where he runs to get water. Turns around and the German guy is stabbing our main character.
Yeah, he's stabbing Blake.
Yeah. And then the German guy is shot, and you think at this point, because they've thrown enough at you with like the cave-in, that you're like, oh, he could make it, you know, like they clearly, the point of the movie was to show these characters going through horrendous injuries. So my mind was like, oh no, now he's gonna be stabbed the whole time. And also, like I was saying, like I remembered shots that were from the trailer that I thought was the other guy, the guy who's dying. So I was like, oh no, he can't die. And then he goes, and then he fucking dies.
Yeah, then he hella dies.
Yeah.
He's dead as shit.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I felt like I felt sad, but facts don't care about your feelings. So it's Ben Shapiro dies.
Yep. He died clutching his mug of liberal tears.
Yeah. That death scene was fucking...
That was brutal.
That was
like,
brutal.
Because he keeps trying to pick him up, and he's just like, he's shrieking every time he tries to move him. It was really brutal. Yeah.
It's brutal because, again, you think like, oh, he could make it. He could make it.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of lies with him, and he at one point, he like forgets what happened to him.
He forgets what happens. Yeah, because there are embers falling down from the barn. It's on fire. It's a plane crash into him. He's like, are we being shot at? And he's like, no, and it's just embers from the barn. And he's like, oh, I've been hit. One of them shot me.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you got stabbed.
Like, he's bleeding out. And so they just have to sit. That's what I really liked about, you know, this movie. The pacing is very interesting because you get used to sort of a fast pace because they're rushing through areas because why wouldn't they? And then every now and then it just stops. So you get nervous. Like, I got nervous too, where I'm like, oh, come on, you guys got to go.
Yeah, we
like,
got to go, man. Time's wasting.
But that whole sequence is great because, and part of it being a oneer really helps because the oneer part it's not a gimmick. It really helps tell the story because he dies in his arms and they're just like talking, and then he dies and then other soldiers show up and Mark Strong shows up, and then they're just like, was he a friend of yours? And he takes a couple rings from the guy and like a few of his items, and then they're just like,
yeah, it is dog tag.
Yeah. And then they're just like, well, we got to move. And he just like kind of help move the body. He gets up, he walks through a house, and the camera pans by just other soldiers pissing on the side of the house to show that it's just like, yeah, it's life goes on. Like,
can't stop at all.
Yeah. And then he gets in a car and they start driving away, and like you're seeing the farmhouse in the background, and it's like, you feel like, no, we gotta, you feel like suddenly you want to slow it down because you want to dwell on that.
Yeah.
But there's no time. It's a major character. What you thought is the main character,
And he's just dead.
Yeah.
he's just dead.
He's just dead.
And they have to leave him forever at that farmhouse.
Yeah. Cow's going to fucking lie on his corpse probably later.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They keeping it as a oneer, you have the worry of it limiting it.
Yeah.
But that's completely the point of the movie.
Yeah. Also, it's a wonder until it doesn't need to be. Because I also, when they first told him, like, you have, like, they have a good amount of time to get the message. I forget how long. But when they told them how much time, I knew, like, oh, this isn't, like, it's going to cut at some point. Because they're going to want to ramp up the intensity.
Yeah.
And so that's what happens, is he gets knocked out and the camera cuts.
And he wakes up and it's like almost dawn. Yeah. So it's like he's lost the entire night.
Yeah.
So I was worried a little bit hearing about the movie that it was, you know, shot to look like a oneer, and that it's this supposed to be this, you know, war movie. And that's unusual for a war movie, because you'd think you'd want to get like these big landscapes and like all these other kinds of shots, and having it be a oneer really kind of limits it. It was completely the point of it, was to keep it frozen within the ground level perspective of this one character.
Yeah, and like this one guy doing one thing that's going to change. Because that's the other point, is in like a day, he's a changed man.
Yes.
And not completely changed, but like it's just like, yeah, you're watching something happen to him that's just, yeah, completely changing him forever. And it also, the wonder works for, I thought, for the pacing, because like in the beginning, it starts with them leaning against a tree and they're just sleeping, and they get an order and they get up and they slowly walk and they're just talking, and they're setting up, you're setting up stuff where they're talking, they're reading letters from home, and like you get, you know, we get time to establish them as people, and then they slowly walk into the trench. And then as they're walking through the trench, it gets just worse and worse. and they're still like so casual, and then they get the orders and the orders change everything, and then yeah, they get to no man's land, and you just get to feel that with them, the transition, you know, like of this, they started so peaceful and in such like a heavenly place. Mm-hmm. And you just get to kind of journey the, like, I'm glad, because the cut only transitions time. It doesn't, yes, transition the location. So you are on the entire journey with him. And yeah, they cheat some things, like Mark Strong shows up and he's like, this is taking too long. You need a ride?
It's like, get in the car. We'll ride for a few miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next few miles aren't very interesting, so let's just get you in the car. And then in the river, he travels by river, not his plan.
No. And that scene is really great. He's sprinting through the town as the bad guys are shooting it. Oh, when he strangles that one German to death while the other,
oh my God,
the drunk one is like 30 yards away and he just can't quite see what's going on over there.
That was great.
That was a great scene.
The murder is, I mean, it's war, so it's fucking grim the way they do it. Like, mm-hmm, no one's a very good shot.
Yeah, everybody's terrible.
Yeah, which checks out.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of close. Yeah. And him going through that town was fucking incredible.
Yeah, that was like the most horror movie.
Oh yeah, well, because it's, and the horror what you're talking about there is, it's not watching a character we care about die horribly, it's watching a character we care about kill somebody horribly, because he basically just has to strangle him. And of course he runs in, covers his mouth, and you think, mm-hmm, like, oh, maybe this guy will cooperate, and then he doesn't.
Yeah, he super doesn't.
And like you said, we don't see the German's face. I think that and the guy in the plane are the only two.
Yeah, but it's so quick that, like, and then the most you spend on this guy's face, it's like half of it's covered by the character's hand.
But it's also perfect because you feel bad for the character.
Yeah.
He gets strangled to death slowly while his buddy is too drunk to help him.
Yeah, yeah. But he sprints away from that and jumps into the river, and it's like he's like fucking drowning. He loses most of his gear. Like he leaves his gun and his helmet behind in the town after he strangles that guy. He just books.
Oh yeah.
And I like when he's like going through rapids and it dumps him down a fall, and then the river gets calm again and he starts to notice cherry blossoms.
Yeah.
So it becomes peaceful. Until he hits this dammed up tree, and he has to crawl across all of these bodies.
All the bodies that he would have joined, you know? Like, that was where he would have ended. Because he almost, the part where he's like holding onto the log and he passes out and starts going under the water and then starts coughing. Like, he almost
drowns.
Yeah, he's just struggling to fucking stay conscious during all of this. Yeah, and then crawling over the fucking disgusting bodies, and they're all waterlogged.
Yeah, and he gets to the riverbank and just starts crying. My gosh.
It's a movie. It's really fucking intense. Like, I didn't stop. It's one of those movies is that, I think I talked about this, this is the opposite experience. When I went and saw Rise of Skywalker, spoilers, I won't spoil, when a major thing happens and a character died in that, I had to pee, so I left the theater and peed.
Yeah, you got up to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, and I didn't care. This is the opposite, where it's like when the credits rolled, I was like, I only became aware of my body at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, the movie keeps you in it. And part of that is the oner, the fact that it's designed like a oner, is that you feel like, you just feel so in the moment.
You don't want to break the momentum.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's just very impressive to watch, because this must have been a real pain in the ass. Like, yeah, you can see where some of the cuts were.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like they were that, like, when they got to a location, it felt like they stayed there for as long as they possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a lot of logistical cuts, where they're like, yeah, we're going from an exterior to an interior, and, you know, there's a lot of effect shots in there. I think CGI makes it very possible, but like a lot of it's very seamless.
Yeah, you don't really notice it.
Yeah.
I imagine you could if you went and looked for, like, there's a couple of spots. You're like, well, there was probably a cut there.
I looked for it a little bit, and there's parts where, like, the camera will go behind a rock. It's like watching a magic trick where you're like, when do the characters vanish? When do they get obscured for a second? But with CGI, even that's not, you know.
Right, you can blend.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Again, it's one of those things where you're aware of the fact that it's one shot, but you're also not. It's the story, they're not like, it's not distracting.
No.
Man, the part with the baby, that's where they pay off the milk, is he finds a French woman.
Well, he's running from the German guy that chased him from the burning church.
Right. That was like fucking...
That was pretty intense.
That's the... Since they have to stay with it, they have to make every moment interesting. So like when he gets dropped off by Mark Strong, who's like, hey, good luck.
Yeah.
And he has to get into this town, and he has to just cross a bridge, but the bridge is blown out. So he has to go on top of it and like balance. And it was like even that where you're just like, oh, man.
Yeah, you're just so tense. Or it's like, man, if he slips, he's going to like snap his legs in half. And...
Right. Which is, of course, a perfect time for the movie to have him get shot at.
Yep.
And you're just like, oh, fuck, no.
Yeah. I was like mad at the Germans. I was like, why do you have a guy here?
Yeah.
What's he doing here?
Yeah, why didn't he shoot at Mark Strong? What the hell?
Yeah.
He was probably watching, saw the one little guy get out, and it was like, ah, sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, look at him. He's going across the bridge. Uh-huh. Don't fall, buddy. Yeah, and that's like a Call of Duty level where he's like shooting at him, and then he has to go in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And that's when they... This is the kind of movie this is, though, is that I knew this movie was keeping to a formula of the formula being a oneer, but I knew that they were going to be willing to break that.
Mm-hmm.
If it served the purpose, because you know this director knows what he's doing, and I know that he also is very good at subverting things as a director with killing characters and stuff like that. So when he goes up and when he opens the door,
mm-hmm.
and they shoot at each other and it goes black, I don't know about you, I was like, oh, they might cut to a different character.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No, like, it crossed my mind because it stays black for a minute.
Yeah, and it's like they could. They've established that nobody's safe. They pulled a Hitchcock where they kill off what you think is the main character early on, and so after that, you're like, again, it's a horror movie. It's horror movie rules.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Which checks out. I mean, I can see them when they were writing this and making it being looking to horror movies as inspiration. And, we haven't even gotten to, so yeah, he gets out of the river, he sees the people singing, and that's like a nice little break.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, these little moments, like the baby, where they're just like reminding you that there's like humanity in it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then he follows them into the trenches, and that's the fucking, the shot that I think is on all the trailers and stuff.
Yeah, when he's sprinting across the front line.
Yeah, which was funny.
Yeah, that was a pretty good moment.
Because he kept colliding with the fucking other soldiers.
He's he knocked a few people down. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to cancel the war, so it's for a good cause.
He's trying to pause the war.
Yeah. And then he, gets to Benedict, gives him the note. They cancel the war, and then that's when he fucking goes out and he goes to find this guy's brother, which, mm-hmm. good God, when he fucking meets him and has to tell him that his brother died.
Yeah, and it's Robb Stark.
It is!
From Game of Thrones, yeah.
Oh my God, it's Robb Stark. He's been through enough.
Yeah.
Poor Robb Stark.
Yep.
Yeah, and he almost like walks away from him, and then he turns around and they like talk a little more and they shake hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good moment. And then he goes and collapses against the tree.
Yeah, and then what it felt like a reveal is he collapses against the tree and takes out a picture of his own, like, family.
Yeah.
And a note that says, like, come back to us.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, such a fucking punch in the gut. Where it's like, this guy, you've been watching this guy nearly die. And of course, when he goes to Sherlock... And they're just like, yeah, thanks. Like, they're really... Yep. Because it's like, they don't know what he's been through. mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, okay, yeah. And he just like kind of bitches to him. I loved that. I loved every time he'd meet some cameo, they would just be bitching to them about their day, kind of.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, this shit sucks. All right, off you go. Good luck.
Yeah. He literally tells him to fuck off.
Yeah, he does. Oh, man. What a movie.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, that was kind of like his arc, too, because at one point, like, he says he hated going home.
Oh, yeah. Because he knew he had to leave again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He also saw his medals were bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't think he ever really has an arc on that.
Not on that, but it seems like at the end of the film when he finally takes his pictures out of their little case he's been carrying them in and reads the back, you're like, oh, maybe he's, after this experience the past 12 hours, he's rethought his opinion on going back home.
Yeah, he's ready to go home. And that's I mean, it's so, it's this combination of watching this guy go through what feels like it should be the most important thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pure hell, and the fact that he can't go home, and yeah. And then what makes it the scale work is really the performances when he runs into other actors.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of in the same situation where it's like, oh, they're having their own fucking hell. And you realize like everybody's going through shit like this. It's just all, and I'm sure this is, you know, this is a particularly like, this isn't based off any true stories or anything. I don't think, maybe it is.
I have no idea.
It felt like it was definitely like, not exaggerated, but it was taking a lot of, you know, this guy's having a really bad day.
Right, a lot of,
it's really, an above average bad day.
Right, a lot of really fantastic shit is going wrong for him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Things are just going tremendously wrong for this guy. This movie should have started with him going, oh, look, a four-leaf clover.
Yeah.
I think my day is going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just,
yeah, it's just a fucking shit show from start to finish.
Yeah. I think, okay, do you, what awards do you think this will win? Because I think this is a pretty strong contender this year.
I mean, it won Golden Globe for motion picture drama.
I can see it winning that. Best picture.
I could see it winning director.
I can see it winning director. Probably not the acting awards.
I don't think it'll probably get some technical stuff like cinematography. Cinematography for sure. Roger Deakins represent.
Is it Deakins?
It is Deakins.
Oh, of course. Of course it's, yeah, Deakins.
Probably some effects like sound effects editing and probably the film editing itself.
Oh, we haven't even talked about the music. The music
is
haunting.
It's a horror movie. Yeah, yeah. It's a horror movie score.
It is. No, this is a horror movie. It's it is a horror movie score. It's very subtle. It's, mm-hmm. I wish I remembered the specific moments, but there were moments where the music would cut out suddenly,
mm-hmm,
that were very significant. Man, this is definitely a film that's like watching it just once and talking to you about it, I feel like in a like ill-equipped, where it's like,
yeah, it's I'm having trouble talking about this one, weirdly.
Well, I don't think it's because it, I don't want to compare it to like Gravity, because Gravity is a totally different beast.
Yeah.
But it has that same rush feel to it, where it's like,
yeah,
it
has
never
that momentum
stops
to it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, and then this happens and then this happens and you're exhausted. It's 2 hours. It's an hour 59 minutes. And they flew by for me.
Mm-hmm.
And watching it and like being able to just note moments where I was like, oh shit, that's really cool. Or, oh, that music cue was really good. Or, oh, you got to remember that shot. And it was like really hard to hold on to anything because the movie was doing such a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. The one I really, when the score first kind of really comes in is when they crest the first hill in no man's land and come down into the pool that's like full of bodies.
Right.
And they have to cut through the barbed wire at the bowing man,
right,
that Moriarty was talking about. And it's just this mangled corpse caught in the barbed wire. That's when the piano version of the theme starts up and then it builds until it's like out of control.
Oh man. I'm trying to think of how this, like, the symmetry of this movie as well, if there was much. Because the end and the beginning definitely match.
Yes.
But the journey itself, I'm wondering if there's more symmetry to that. I'm wondering what moment the seemingly main character dies. This is what I mean. It's like, it's a movie that I just want to watch it again and pay better attention to.
Right. Yeah. Now that I know the story, and so I'm not just sitting there like, okay, what the fuck is going to happen next?
Man? Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, the music especially, I'd love the soundtrack to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The score during the sequence where he comes down out of the tower in the French town at night, and it's being sporadically lit up by artillery fire and flares.
Right.
It's some real spooky shit.
And that fucking sequence, the way the lighting is done. Oh, yep. God damn it.
Yep. It's like you have to sit there and wait for these long shadows to finally like reveal what's like right next to him. So it's like so tense.
Yeah, and you can like see really far down and... Oh, man. And it's all... Oh, it's so spooky. It's real spooky.
Yep. It's a real spook show.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I feel like I had one more thing to say, and I can't remember because we started talking about the music. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Fair.
This is really good. This is a really good movie. I don't know. I really...
Yeah, it's just a solid film.
Yeah, it was what I was looking forward to this director's career. Like Sam Mendes, like, what did he do? I gotta look him up real quick, because I feel like I'm missing, because, like, for me, it's a blur. It's like, American Beauty is fine. It's a very, that's a movie that does not age well.
No, for a number of reasons.
But the directing was always very good.
Yeah.
But Road to Perdition is just fucking fantastic.
Yeah, that's just a phenomenal movie.
Oh, yeah, he did Revolutionary Road. Oh, yeah, he did Jarhead. I liked Jarhead. Remember Jarhead?
Yeah, that was a weird one, but
it's like the opposite of this. It's like nothing happens and it takes a while.
Yes.
And then he did Away We Go, and then he... Yeah, this is... this is interesting. Because, yeah, Jarhead was kind of almost a comedy, and then Revolutionary Road was... That's a romantic film, right? Same with Away We Go is a comedy. And so, like, he started doing the James Bond. So I feel like this is, since Road to Perdition, the first movie he's done where he's like, I'm gonna really give a shit. Which I shouldn't say. He probably gives a shit about everything. But
say again.
This feels like one where he was like, I want some goddamn awards.
Yeah.
He dedicates it.
Give me some statues.
Yeah, he dedicates it to like a grandfather or something.
Yeah. Who I assume must be his grandfather.
Yeah. They had the same last name.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dude with the same last name.
Yeah, who fought in World War I.
Maybe he just found another dude with the same last name, and he was like, I'm going to tack this on because it'll make me seem like, you know, like deep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cheating us all.
I'm this is one of those movies that's hard to make full episodes about. Because it's like, what do we say? We're just being like, oh, remember that part? That part was awesome. Like,
well, it's... Again, it's what we're talking about, is that when we sit down and watch a shitty movie, mm-hmm. I get it like 15 minutes in and I'm like, okay, this is a shitty movie. And then you just start looking at other things. You're like, what's that poster say in the background? You know, like you just start like being like, I guess I'll use this time to think of things to say for a podcast later.
Yeah.
If it's a really boring movie, I tend to escape my body. And
you astral project.
Yes. And then I get out of it and I'm like, damn it, I have nothing to talk about because I wasn't paying enough attention. There's like this sweet spot. If it's something like this, where it's, again, it's not that it's just that it's a really good movie. It's that it's a really good movie about a very simple thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of symbolism in it I didn't catch. and a lot of like filmmaking aspects I didn't catch, so it's hard to talk about in that sense, because it's just like, yeah, it just kind of blew right by me and it was really fun. Like,
right, yeah, I was so absorbed.
Weird. Yeah, it's weird to call it fun because it's horrific.
Yeah.
But it's more like it's nice to see a movie where you're like, everybody is doing a great job, a really, really good job at what they're doing. And also, there was an aspect where I was like, which British actor is going to keep showing up?
Right, yeah, I was excited to see who was, like, the whole movie, I was like, man, I wonder who his brother's going to be.
Yeah, what if it was, like, Hugh Grant?
That would have been fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know it's just, like, it's an all-star where they just brought them in there, like, you want to do, like, a day? We'll cover you with shit, we'll put shit all over you, and we'll have you say shit about war. And then you go. Like, I think the only one who, like, put in the most effort was Mark Strong. He had to be outside. All the others are, like, in single, very small locations.
Yeah. And he had two scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Moriarty, whose name I should learn. He really,
Andrew,
like...
Andrew Scott.
Thank you. He's fantastic. He really set up fucking... Because I think that's part of it is... It's again, because it's a oneer, you feel like they're going to have filler, right? I think of when the X-Files did an episode that was all a series of oneers. There's a couple moments in that episode, and it's a great episode, but there's a couple moments where, like, Scully gets in an elevator and she has to just stand there for 30 seconds because they're like, we didn't quite give her anything to do right here. Not 30 seconds, more like 15 seconds. But you know what I mean? Like, it would be easy for them to accidentally have these moments, and they fill it with other actors who are kind of making the world huge and setting up, like, that guy's setup to No Man's Land was so good.
Because he's
so zonked out the moment they meet him because he's on the front lines, and he's so cynical, and he just treats them like they're walking corpses. Yeah, him being like, can you do me a favor when they start shooting? Can you throw the flares back at us?
Yeah, throw the flares back, yeah.
Yeah, because he has no faith that they're going to survive. And it feels like it's a lot of that. It's a lot of people just, like, in their own ways being either supportive or cynical in between his journey where they're like, man, you're doing that? And it's just you? All right. I mean,
yeah, that seems like a really bad idea, but good luck with that.
Good luck. I'm Mark Strong. Take it easy. It's also neat to see Mark Strong in a film where he didn't scare me.
Right, he's being very supportive.
Yeah,
he sets up that bit with Bimberbout where he's like, make sure somebody witnesses you give the orders. So, like, you're when he finally makes it to Benedict, you're like, there's uncertainty of whether or not he's going to accept the orders.
Right, there's so many little things like that they put in to, like, give it a lot more drama, because it's not, you never think he won't accept the order, and he plants that seed. And Mark Strong, it's like, you don't even know if he's met Benedict, you know? Like, I don't know. It just plants the seed where you're like, maybe he won't. You know what would've been amazing? I mean, I love Doctor Strange in there, but if he had turned around, it was Jason Statham. Can you imagine? And, like, he was dressed like modern clothes. Like, he's just dressed like
the transporter.
Yeah. And he's just, like, really fucking surly with him. Keeps trying to, like, karate chop him.
Just starts kicking Germans.
Yes. It just becomes a whole thing.
It just becomes the transporter.
Yeah. Jason State. He goes all the way to Hitler.
This is World War One.
Oh, right. Well, Hitler's there.
He's around, yeah. But
yeah, he can still kill Hitler. That's, I mean, true. it won't mean as much, but, like, it's Jason Statham from the future.
Right. He doesn't care if you understand his actions.
Yeah. People be like, man, he was really mean to that Hitler guy.
I wonder what he did to piss him off.
Yeah, what he did to piss off.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah. World keeps spinning. No Hitler. Then it's like a time paradox.
Right.
And that's a whole other thing.
The world will never know what time Statham did for them.
God, time Statham.
Time Statham.
That could be a movie. That could be Sam Mendes' next movie.
It should be Sam Mendes' next movie.
Yeah. I don't see why not. Jason Statham fucking just blasting through time, just kicking his way through time. I think every time he time travels, it's just that he kicks the air and he kicks time itself open.
Right.
And crawls
he kicks
through.
It with such force that all the clocks start winding backwards.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Everybody,
so that's
check
our review
out this
of 1917.
Yeah, everybody check out this fucking movie. It's unbelievable. It's a hell of a film. It's very tense. Not for everybody, because it's a war film. I'm not a big war film guy, personally.
Yeah.
But the older I get, and you get older, it just becomes part of, you know, you just get old. Like, I feel like as like specifically men age, they're just like, I want to watch war movies more.
Yeah.
And then you grow a mustache.
I'm going to end up with a History Channel subscription and not understand how I got it.
Exactly. It's just like, what have I become?
Yeah. What is this? And why do I have a mustache now? What's happening? Yeah.
There are so many mustaches in my theater.
There's a lot of mustaches in my theater. Yeah. There's a lot of dads. A lot of dads speaking at full volume mm-hmm. about their thoughts on the movie.
Yeah. Speaking over each other. Mm-hmm. Clearing their throats a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wearing
dad
jeans.
Movie.
Yeah.
Wearing a t-shirt tucked into their jeans.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe some of them still have a pager.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I can picture it. It's hot. Mm-hmm. It's real hot. Guys, everybody, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to us struggle to
just ramble about
episode.
This movie.
Yeah.
You should check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have a new tier where you can become a producer of Hypecast and get like merch in the mail. I'll send you merch.
I'll send you all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I'll lick a piece of paper and I'll just stuff it in an envelope.
And that'll
send
be
it to you.
A treat.
Yeah, you'll
for
just
you.
Get a moist piece of paper and you won't know. You won't know where it came. Well, you'll know.
You'll know now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
We also have store tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed, where you can check out aforementioned merch like t-shirts, stickers, mugs, posters, whatever you want. Go on, mosey on in there. We're adding new stuff fairly regularly. So check that out. Do that check. With your time and life.
Excuse me. That's how we're ending it.
Solid. I'm glad that's how we're ending this. Is you just hacking a fucking hairball right
into
the microphone.
Just hacking into the mic.
Piece of shit.
That was for you guys out there. We're good podcasters.
The hell are you doing?
I'm making podcast history. It's Tom. It's natural. It's like one shot. It's uncut.
Mm-hmm.
Uncut.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are. Yeah.
All right. Time Statham. That's the thought we want to leave you with.
Yeah. Time Statham, watch out. If he comes and gets you, that means you might be Hitler. So
yeah, you might be future Hitler. So
that's your fault, really.
Think about that. Yeah, really, that's on you.